జయం విశుపాద పరమహంస పరిబ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణ అరవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నిత్యలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిబ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి, అనందకోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి, నామాచార్య శీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి, స్వయం సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త బృందకి, శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి, బృందావన్ ధామ్ కి, మాయపూర్ ధామ్ కి, మధురపురి ధామ్ కి, జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్ కి, ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్ కి, గంగమాయికి, యమునమాయికి, తులసిదేవికి, భక్తిదేవికి, సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గోర్ ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శీల ప్రభుపాద. నమో విష్ణు పదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ బోధలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని ఇది నామిని. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన కృతితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీ అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి. నమోస్తుతే వ్యాసవిశాలబుద్ధే ఫుల్లారవిందాయుధపత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారతతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప. ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకబాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధ గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుదీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్. వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చాణూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటాచయద్రుతజలా గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామావికర్ణ ఘోరమకరా దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణనదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ. పారాశర్యవజసరోజమమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానయచేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జనషల్పదైరహరః పేబీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంగజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. యం బ్రహ్మ వరుణేంద్ర రుద్రమరుదస్తన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్ వేదై సాంగపదై క్రమ ఉపనిషదేర్గాయంతి యం సామగాః. ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యందియం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. నిర్మాణమోహ జతసంగదోష అధ్యాల్ప నిత్యావినివృత్త కామా ద్వంద్వైర్విముక్త సుఖ దుఃఖ సంజ్ఞైర్ గచ్ఛంది అమూఢా పదమవ్యయం తల్. సో యెస్టర్డే వెన్ వి డిస్కస్ దట్ వర్స్ కృష్ణ మెన్షన్స్ దేర్ దట్ ద్వంద్వైర్విముక్తం సుఖ దుఃఖ సంజ్ఞైర్, వన్ హూ బికమ్స్ ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్ ది డ్యువాలిటీస్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్. అండ్ ఫైనలీ కృష్ణ సెడ్ దట్ సుఖం దుఃఖం సిమిలర్లీ హ్యాపీనెస్ డిస్ట్రెస్ అండ్ ఆల్సో good and bad, right and wrong, these are all dualities of life. And ultimately, even this concept of male, female, that is the last thing to overcome when you become free from the dualities. It is the last hurdle to cross, to become free from the dualities of man and woman, male and female, these things like that. So, then we saw yesterday that the once you fall into the stream of Antaryami, we are in the stream of the society at the moment, but once you fall into the stream of Antaryami, then everything changes. Antaryami takes care of everything. So similarly, in adhyalpa sadhana, in spiritual life also, initially you have to put a lot of effort, but once you have understood the Antaryami's power and you have fallen into that trap of Antaryami, then Antaryami will take care of everything after that. That is how it works. In the beginning, one has to put a lot of effort because we haven't come to terms with the Antaryami. Antaryami's existence inside, Antaryami controlling our life, our future, our past, and all our activities in this world. Similarly, one who knows about us more than ourselves, our karmam, karma phalam, and who keeps all the departments of this body working, subtle body as well as the gross body, mind, intelligence, everything, senses, all of that. So, once recognition comes from us of the presence of Antaryami and becoming a habit of taking shelter of the Antaryami, Antaryami takes care of everything after that, and that situation is called Krishna's mercy, Antaryami's kripa or Krishna's mercy. So, in this way, Krishna said that, that is why it was mentioned there that the once you have touched that stage, after that, there is no need for any fear about spiritual life. Ma bhaishta vidvamsava nasti abayam samsara sindor tarano supayam yenaiva yata yadayosya param tameva margam tava nirdeshami. The disciple goes to the spiritual master. Spiritual master says to him, there is no need to be frightened because strictly there is no death. And there is a way of crossing this samsaram. Samsaram is a relative existence, right? And that path has been given to us by the great sages, and I will inculcate that to you. So this is how that verse in the Viveka Chudamani says, Ma bhaishta vidvamsava nastapaya samsara sindhora staranos upaya yenaiva yata yadayosya param tameva margam tava nirdishami. So the same, just like we saw yesterday, that the Mahabali, Krishna said to Mahabali also, Rikshishe sarvadoham tvam. Krishna is saying to Mahabali, Rikshishe sarvadoham tvam. Sanyugam, sabarichadam, sada sannihidam veera, tatramam rakshase bhavan. It is my responsibility, Krishna says to Mahabali, of taking care of you, looking after you. That's my problem, not yours. Rakshishe sarvadoham tvam. Sanyugam, not only you, with all your other members of the family. Sanyugam sabarichadam, and I will be present there all the time in this sudalam. Sada sannihidam veera, tatramam rakshase bhavan. I take care of that here. Yeah? So, Vamanamurti said this to Mahabali, and Mahabali, why did that happen? That is Sharanagati. Mahabali handed over everything to Krishna, but to Vamanamurti, and finally he gave up himself. That Ahangaram also surrendered to Vamanamurti, right? At that time, Krishna says, don't be frightened. Yeah? So, I will look after Sanyugam Sapirichadam, means not only you, with all your wealth and all your property or assets, everything together. Drishyase Bhavan, and you will always see me there. I will be available for you to have you can always see me in Sudalam, present there. And you will see me, my protection at that time. How I protect you, you will experience that, right? And that is the blessing from Krishna to Mahabali. So this Antaryami's blessing to the Jiva is spoken in the Puranam through this Mahabali's episode. How Krishna protected Mahabali, that is the episode to show to us how the Antaryami protects the Jiva. So this power, Anugraha Shakti, is already there in the Prakriti, in the nature, right? But we should be willing to surrender to that. And once you do that, then that Shanti will come. And at the moment, inside is Ashanti, no Shanti inside. But that Antaryami Padam, Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam, Antaryami, that's what location is talking about. That Paramam Padam, and that is where everything gets finished. In other words, afterwards there is no distress anymore. At the moment, according to Bhagavatam also, everything is boiling inside, everyone, right? Tapam. And that is why Bhagavatam said, Tapatrayonmulanam. Remember? Dharma Projita Kaidavotra Varamo, Namal Saranam, Sadam Vedyam, Vastava Matra Vastu Shivadam, Tapatrayonmulanam. That Tapatrayonmulanam, right? In other words, material body or material life, physical body, problems of the physical body, and also the problems with the mind, mind, body, and the world outside, all of them, Krishna says, will leave at the same time. Otherwise, as long as we are in the plane of ahankaram, as long as you are in the field of ahankaram or ego, this tapam will be there. Tapam won't go. So, what is the heat inside? The heat in our mind, right? And so the solution is bhakti and Krishna consciousness, in other words, and continuously chanting the holy name and taking shelter. So, also take the advantage of the Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita, and other literature related to Vedantam, right? And one who develops this anusandhanam, continuous practice of all this, right? And like worship, chanting the holy name, studying Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, or satsangam, or bringing everything into the practice of a sattvic way of life. Charya. Charya means a way of life, yeah? So, bringing everything into a sattvic way of life and at the same time, absorption, jnana vijaram, inquiring, realizing the what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. So, if it happens that way, there is a chance for getting established in the Swarupam. There is an opportunity, right? So, and at least at that stage, Krishna is saying there that Gachandi Amodha Padam Avyayam Tat. Padam Avyayam Tat. So, Sukham Dukham will go away from inside. Manam Moham, you have transcended that. And Sangha Dosham, the Sangha Dosham, you have become free from that. Adhyatma Nitya and Vinivrta Kama. In this way, one has transcended the Dundvam from here. And beyond that, Krishna is saying, you will reach that state. What is that state? That's the next verse. Look at the next verse. Nathat bhasayade suryo, na shashango, na pavaga, yadgatva, na nivartande, tadbhama paramam mama. Nathat bhasayade suryo, na shashango, na pavaga, yadgatva, na nivartande, tadbhama paramam mama. That is what Krishna has offered in the Bhagavad Gita. That you will reach that state where you don't come back again into another body. That is the guarantee from Krishna. Okay? So what is this Paramam Padam, what Krishna is saying here? This Paramam Padam, what Krishna has spoken, is something people understand in different ways. Yeah? Basically in Kaptopanishad, Krishna spoke about that same thing. Na tatra suryo bhadi na chandra tarakam, nema vidyido bhadi kutavoya magni, tameva bhandam anibadi sarvam, tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. It is the same message Krishna has brought into Bhagavad Gita in this form. That nadad bhasayade suryo na shashango na bhavaga, yadgatva na nivartande tadhama paramam mama. Right? So, same topic. What Upanishad is saying, same thing Krishna is saying here, in another form. In the Upanishad, it was mentioned like this. Na tatra suryo na chandra tarakam kutoyam nema vidyido bhanti kutoyam agni tameva bhantim anupadi sarvam tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. That verse, what Kathamanishad is saying, Krishna has brought into Bhagavad Gita in this verse. Exactly the same thing. Yeah. So, after saying that, Krishna says that the that authority behind this is Shruti, Vedam. Veda Pramanam. It should, everything, what Krishna is saying also, has to be looked at through the Vedam. Vedam is the authority for everything, right? And that is why Shruti Pramanam. Shruti is the Pramanam for everything. Vedam. When Krishna is saying, because otherwise what will happen is, you can see here, that Taddhama Tejo Rupam Padam Na Bhasayade Suryam Adityam Sarvav Bhasana Shaktimatu Abhi Sajitada Na Shashanga Chandro Na Pavago Na Agni Abhi. That location or that place where it is not illuminated by sun, moon or fire, Yaddhama Vaishnavam Padam Gatva Prapya Na Nivartade Yaja Suryadi Na Bhasayade Taddhama Padam Paramam Na Vishnoho. That location where it is not illuminated by sun or the moon, then Paramam Padam, Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam, Vishnu is that Paramam Padam, then that person does not come back again. Yad Gatva Nanivartande Iti Uktam, that Ajaya Swami has quoted from Mahabharatam, Stri Parvam, then Moksha Parvam, and from Valmiki Ramayanam, Ayodhya Gandam. All quotations. Yad gatvana nivartande idi uktam nanu sarvahi gadihi agatyanda samyoga viprayoganda idi prasiddham. Once you reach that Vishnu padam, tad Vishnu paramam padam, then you don't come back. So, normally when you go anywhere, there is a return also from there, is it not? So, samyogam, that means if you are joined somewhere and if you get separated from that, Mahabharatam Ramayanam also says the same thing. That end of samyogam is viyogam or viraham. Right? If it is like that, why did it say taddhama gadanam nasti nivrti idi? Paramapadam, if you get there, why do you say you don't come back again? That is what being spoken here. Yeah. So Shruti Pramanina, Shruti Pramanande Sodharma Nishtahya Chitta Shuddhi Samshuddha Chittasya Tattva Darshanam Drishtva Atmanavatya Para Vimuktiha. So, those who have that faith in the Shruti, in the Vedam, they will have Sodharma Nishta. That means they will be steady in their Sodharmam. And one who has faith in the Vedam and one who is steady in the Sodharmam, he will have Chitta Shuddhi. Chitta Shuddhi will happen to him. And one who has Chitta Shuddhi, he will have Tattva Jnanam. Tattva Darshanam will happen to him. And till this Tattva Darshanam happens, Tattva Jnanam happens, this when this happens, Atma Jnanam, knowledge of the self, will happen to him, and then he will get liberation from that. Jivan Mukti will happen to him. Therefore, Krishna is saying here that Atma is not illuminated by sun, moon, or the fire, and neither any books, and none of the things outside can illuminate the presence of the soul. Soul's nature is, soul reveals to us its existence. And that is how we experience the soul. Soul, Antaryami inside, by his very nature, he is capable of revealing himself to anyone who has taken shelter. Right? And what is important here is that because this soul is there, Antaryami is there, it is because of that the sun, moon and the fire, everything has got the power of illumination. Sun has no power of illumination of its own. Moon doesn't have a power of illumination of its own. Neither the fire has any power to illuminate the world. Because of the presence of Krishna's presence or Atma's presence in all of them, Antaryami's presence, Chaitanya's presence, they all are capable of illuminating others. Sunshine is because of Krishna, Antaryami's presence in the sun, Surya Narayana. Same thing with the moon, same thing with the Agni. Now science will say the moon is reflecting the sunlight. But who gave the reflecting power for the moon? Again, it is Antaryami inside the moon. Without Antaryami's presence, there is no illumination in here. So that is why that Kathopanishad words, na tatra suryo bhadi, na chandra tharakam, nema vidyido bhadi kudoyam agni, tameva bhandam, anibhadi sarvam, tasya bhasa, sarvam idam vibhadi. It is because of him, which one, Antaryami, or that Chaitanyam Brahmam. That is why, because of that only, we experience the existence of everything in this creation. Everything else is illumined by the presence of the Chaitanyam, by the presence of Chaitanyam. And Krishna is saying here, yad gatva na nivartande taddhama paramam mama. That is all it says, right? He will not come back again into Maya. Taddhama paramam mama. And Krishna says, that is the ultimate destination. Ultimate destination. Nadat bhasayade suryo, na shashango, na bhavaka, yad gatva na nivartande taddhama paramam mama. So, this is how Krishna has said in the Bhagavad Gita, right? The other things like Vaikuntham or Golokam or Vishnu Lokam, all these things you can imagine that, bhavana, in your imagination you can have that. That means after death you will go to this planet or that planet. In your imagination you can have all that, but it does not have Shruti Pramanam. Vedam is not accepting any of that. This is the interesting thing. People normally, because they don't understand the Vedam, Upanishads, they are the authority. There is no reference to Vishnu Logam, Vaikuntham, Golokam and all in the Vedam. It's all coming from the Puranam. It's a Puranic concept it is. Puranic concept, right? But it has no Shruti Pramanam, that's all. Shruti Pramanam is not there, that's all. Nothing wrong with that, but there is no other defect in that. The thing is, Shruti Pramanam is not there for all the other concepts like Golokam, Vishwalokam, Vaikuntham and all other things, right? So Vedanta Pramanam is not there because Shruti is saying this like this, that you have to realize the truth now within yourself first, right? And nowhere in the Upanishad says that after death you are going to some place somewhere in the creation, right? And there you will get liberated. That concept is not in the Upanishad. Upanishads have not accepted that. That is a Pauranic concept, right? So therefore, right now, here itself, tatraiva, Upanishad also says the same thing. Right now, here itself, Upanishad says like that, ihadevati satyamasti mahati vinashti. If you don't make it here, it's a great loss. It's a great loss, right? If you have not realized it now here, then it is a great loss. So, here, where do you realize it? In the Antaryami, here, in the heart, right? Hridi, esha alma hridi, tasmat hridayam. Hridi, esha alma hridi, tasmat hridayam. Because in hridayam, in heart, if you realize that, and that is the center, and that is how this name came, hridayam, hrit, right? The center. So you have to experience Krishna within oneself, means realize the self as the Antaryami. And that has to happen while living in this world, before you leave the body. Right? It is not a post-mortem thing. It's not a post-mortem experience. You see, this concept of going to heaven or going to Vaikuntham, these are all post-death thing. After death, We will say like this, go to Kailasam, go to Vaikuntham, go to Golokam and all. Others also will say the same thing, that you go to Jannah, or they go to heavens, and we will all meet up there again. We will continue with our family life, what we have not completed here. So all these kind of concepts, it's okay, nothing wrong in that. You can say that in your imagination. If that keeps you happy going, carry on with it. Vedam doesn't accept that. Vedam is saying, right now here, you have to realize it. Here, Andaryami, if you have not done the happened that, Mahadi Vinashti, it's a great loss. Ken Upanishad says that. If you have not realized it now here, Mahadi Vinashti, then come back again and continue with the process once again. So that is what Krishna is saying here. That param dhamam. Yadat bhasayade suryo na shashanko na bhavaga yadgatva na nivartande tad dhamma paramam mama. That ultimate that's what in the Bhagavadam also. Dhamna svena sada nirastakoham satyambaram dhimahi. Bhagavadam also is spoken in the same way. Tad dhamma paramam mama. Bhagavadam is saying Dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhagam satyambaram dhimahi. That's how Bhagavadam has put it. Bhagavad Gita has said like this, right? That dhamam, which is present inside us, where the Andaryami is present, how is it present inside us? As our very existence. We feel our existence due to His presence inside. Krishna's presence inside, we feel our existence, right? And if that is not, that experience of Andaryami inside is Paramam dhamam. Param dhamam. The dhamam paramam mama, what Krishna is saying here. So, basically what it is that when you inquire about Andaryami and realize the truth inside, that param dhamam, it will manifest within us, and that is our actual identity. Our location is there, and from there, the chances of falling down from there, if you are able to stay there permanently and able to stay in that situation, in that state there, with the Andaryami as our identity, that is what Krishna has spoken as the Adhyalpa Vidya. Adhyalpa Vidya is that, able to remain as the with Andaryami as our identity permanently. So, it is that Andaryami inside, the truth, Andaryami, Satyam. He is the one who due to upadhi, he becomes as jiva. He becomes as jiva. Due to upadhi, he becomes as jiva. And he is addressed as jiva, or sometimes we address him as amsham part, right? So, when upadhi sambarkam comes, when upadhi happens to Andaryami, it becomes a jiva and it becomes an amsham. And that is the next verse. You see that? Mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanadana mana shashtan indriyani prakritisthani karshadi. Very clear. Mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanadana mana shashtan indriyani prakritisthani karshadi. So in the last verse, Krishna said that the devotees, they are adhyalpa nityam. They are fixed in the Adhyalpam Nityam. Nirmana Moha, Yadasanga Dosha, Adhyalpa Nitya, Vinivrta Gama, Dundvair Vimukta, Sukha Dukha Sapnir, Gachan Yamuda Padam Avyayamthat. He said that, right? So that Paramapadam, Bhagavad Padam, when we get there, who is qualified to be there? What kind of people are they who will get there, right? All those things Krishna has covered in that verse. Because this samsara vriksham, which Krishna started this, urdhamula madashaga, ashwatham tree, and one has to cut it off, that is the maya, prakriti, one has to cut it at the very root, talpadam dat parimargidavyam, Krishna said that. And what do we have to do? One who has become sincere, and who has got that power of discrimination within himself, then what is in front of him? All he has to do is to cut this tree off. Somehow or the other. Asanga shastrena dradena chitva. Tadaparam dad parimargidavyam. Yasmin gada nanivartandi bhuyaha తమేవ జాత్యం పురుషం ప్రవద్ది యద ప్రవర్తి ప్రసదా పురాణి. సో దాట్ భగవల్ పదం, వాట్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ హియర్, సెల్ఫ్ రియలైజేషన్ ఆర్ అంతర్యామి రియలైజేషన్, యూ కెన్ కాల్ ఇట్ ఇన్ డిఫరెంట్ వేస్, వాట్ ఎవర్ ఇట్ మే బి, వన్ హ్యాస్ టు లుక్ ఫార్ ద వే ఫార్ దాట్ డూయింగ్ దాట్ ఫార్ రియలైజేషన్. And that is what has to be done. So, when Srimad Bhagavatam began, Suda Goswami said this, dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham, four things, chatur purushartham. In that, the three, first three of them are meant for preparing for the fourth one. Dharmam, artham, kamam is for preparing a person for the fourth thing called moksham, for that purpose, right? So, dharma means that in a dharmic way acquiring wealth in this world, in a dharmic way. Similarly, kamam, in a dharmic way one is allowed to have kamam, desires, fulfill the desires, right? If it is done like that, arthakamam in a dharmic way, if it is done like that, it will gradually lead to chitta shuddhi. Chitta Shuddhi will come from that, and that will create a desire inside him for self-realization and also for the knowledge of the self. Jityasa will come to him, Tattva Jityasa will come to him, which means mumukshatvam, for desire for liberation. Right? This is all, right up to this, is only for the sake of Chitta Shuddhi, up to that point, for the sake of Chitta Shuddhi. There is no other thing more than that. So, dharmam, artham, kamam, these three things ends up in Chitta Shuddhi. Chitta Shuddhi is the goal for that, right? If Chitta Shuddhi has not happened, then all these three things is also a waste of time. Dharmartha Kamam is a waste of time if Chitta Shuddhi has not happened, right? So that is what you remember in the Bhagavatam, in the second chapter. Dharmasya apavargasya nartho anarthaya kalpade arthasya dharmai kandasya కామో లాభాయ హిస్ప్రద కామస్య ఇంద్రియ ప్రీతి లాభో జీవేద యావద జీవస్య తత్వ జిజ్ఞాస నా అర్థవయస్య కర్మభి. వెరీ క్లియర్లీ సుధ గోస్వామి సెడ్ దిస్ టు ద రిషీస్ ప్రెసెంట్ ఇన్ ది నైమిషారణ్యం. ఈ టోల్ దమ్ దాట్, రైట్? సో తత్వ జిజ్ఞాస హ్యాస్ టు కమ్ ఫస్ట్. తత్వ జిజ్ఞాస మీన్స్ సెల్ఫ్ రియలైజేషన్, టు డిజైర్ ఫార్ సెల్ఫ్ రియలైజేషన. దాట్ ఈస్ తత్వ జిజ్ఞాస. దాట్స్ నాట్ హ్యాపెనింగ్. వై? Because these three things have not happened in the proper way. Dharmam, artham, kamam was not done properly, so therefore Chitta Shuddhi didn't happen, therefore Tattva Jijnasa didn't happen. That's the way it works. You can't change all these things. These things are already confirmed by the rishis. Dharmam, artham, kamam, if they were followed properly, the person will get Chitta Shuddhi. And if he gets Chitta Shuddhi, what will happen is Tattva Jityasa will come to him without any external effort. So, lot of these things has to happen from inside. Yeah. So, what Sudha Goswami said to Shavanagarishi and others were that how the material life should be, that should be practiced, right? Yaveda Jivita. Yaveda Jivita means manage your material life somehow or the other without too much effort, even too much struggle. Manage it with a very limited means. Survive in this world somehow. Labho jiveda yavada, right? And that means you manage your life somehow. But instead, if you make your material life very complicated, desiring for acquiring wealth and building empires in this world, if you go in that direction, it is not possible. So, that is why that's labho jiveta yavata, he said. Yaveta jivitam. Right? Whichever way life happens, accept that. Jiveta yavata. Right? So, purpose of life, what is that? What is the goal? Goal is this, that if these three things, dharmam, artham and kamam, if it has happened properly, then you have to get this tattva jityasa first inside. Tattva jityasa has to come from within. Most of us, Tattva Jijyasa is not coming. Why is that? Because dharma, artha and kamam has not happened properly. So how do we expect Tattva Jijyasa to come? So the rishis are very clear on all these things. They don't have any confusion about it. Yeah. So, What does that mean? Then I just want to realize the truth. I want to get out of this cycle of birth and death. I want to find out, why am I suffering in this world? Why do I have to go through all this mess, what we are put up with? Why do I have to put up with this, right? So tattva jijnasa comes by following that process, dharmam, arsam, kamam, right? And how to create that tattva jijnasa? That is what Suta Goswami said that to Shaunagrahi, right? And apart from that, the rest of our material life is concerned, it is not in our control. What will happen in this world? What will happen to the family? What will happen to your possessions? What will happen to your wealth? All those things are not important and they are not under your control anyway. So, just like the sun shines every day, or sun comes, or the rain comes, or the weather changes, what control have we got on that? Nothing, right? Similarly, heat, cold, and our lifespan, all those things is not in our control, is it? The heat, weather changing, heat and cold coming, and our lifespan, all these things are not under our control, right? Similarly, when diseases comes, old age comes, and our life in this world, youthful life, all these things are not in our hand. It's not in our hand, right? So there is no point in trying to fix those things. Birth, death, old age, disease, trying to fix them by our own arrangements, through medicines, doctors, and all sorts of arrangements, elaborate arrangements, what the modern world is trying to fix things. It's not in our control. It will keep on going like this, right? So, what he's saying is that, what is not in your hands, no point in wasting time on trying to fix that. What is not in your hands? And that includes birth, death, old age and disease. We are, and our material life, the weather conditions, and all other things, from Rishi's point of view, don't waste your time trying to fix it. It is not going to work, right? And leaving that to itself and look after one's own spiritual realization, self-realization, right? What is possible for us in this life? That's what Suta Goswami is saying there. Realizing who you are and be established in the self. That's all you can do, right? And that's what he said. Jivasya tattva jijnasa na arthaya cheha karmabhi. And then he said, Vatandita tattvavidam tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavanidi shabdyade. So that tattvam realization, Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan, in that way, that's only thing what we can do in this world, right? So, and Bhagavadam said like that Bhagavad Prapti or Moksham, whatever way we call it, and for that bhakti is required, and bhakti one should acquire in life, Bhagavadam said. And knowledge also is not good enough, just knowing things from the books. Just knowing things from the books is not good enough, but it should lead into bhakti. That means, bhakti means another form of bhakti is self-realization. Bhakti and self-realization is one and the same thing, right? So, alpanubhuti, and that is Bhagavad Bhakti, it has to happen. That means, by which realization inside? When that anubhuti comes inside, you will forget about this world. You will become free from the grip of this world. And that bhakti is saying there that the that state has to happen. Yam libdhva puman mahto bhavadi. This is Sri Narada Maharshi saying of a state of liberation. He's talking about matto bhavadi, stabdho bhavadi, tripto bhavadi, alpa rama bhavadi. All these are kinchit na shochandi. Narada Bhakti Sutram, Sri Narada Maharshi says this about liberation, right? That means by getting that back, we become mattam, unmattam, stabdam, alpa rama. We become that. Antaryami realization, and this has to be acquired in this life here. As far as eating, sleeping and other things are concerned, it's already happening in this world, right? Also, that's what Krishna said there. Tadaparam tad parimargidavyam yasmin gadana nivartanti bhuyaha tameva jadyam purusham prabandhi yada pravarti prasada purani. So, tadaparam tad parimargidavyam. Tadaparam parimargidavyam. That padam, tad padam, right? So, able to come down from the once you have reached that state, what Krishna has spoken, again coming back to the platform of the mind, Manomandalam, coming back to Manomandalam, and it is when you come back to Manomandalam, the platform of the mind, that is when we have the problem of Punarabhi Jananam, Punarabhi Maranam. If you are fixed in that state of Antaryami, self-realized state, there is no Punarabhi Jananam, Punarabhi Maranam. When you fall down from that into the field of mind, Manomandalam, then you will have to face the same problem again. Punarabhi Jananam, Punarabhi Maranam, Punarabhi Janani, Jadare Shainam. So, Manomandalam, that means the field of mind, we have spent many times, many different bodies in different species, we have spent that, right? And in the form of a grass, we started first. We lived, you can remember that we were a grass also one time. Then worms, and then trees, and birds, and snake. We were snakes also once. And this way, human species finally. And equally, you also have the opportunity to become a higher species as well. Devadas also. Asuras, Gandharvas, Devas. And similarly, all kinds of species moving, non-moving in this way. Right? And we got tired after going through all these different kinds of bodies. Right? So many names and forms. Different forms and different dresses. Every body, what we have, is considered to be a dress. The body, what Prakriti has given to us, it's a dress. It's not the external dress. The body itself is a dress on us, on the jiva. It's a dress that has been put on by the Prakriti. Right? And because we put so many dresses in different species, we have forgotten our identity now, what we are. Because this dress kept on changing. Different types of bodies, one after the other. Now when they ask us something, who are you? We don't know who we are. Because of the changing dresses, right? Just like some people, when they act in a movie for a long period of time, in certain role, when they act like that, they started feeling that they are that role, they are that person, because of acting in the movie. There's one actor in Hyderabad who had a famous actor he was. He used to act like Ramchandra's role in the films. And stated later, many movies he has acted like that, and finally he started feeling he's like Ramchandra. That's the way it happens to us. In the same way, we have put on this dress again and again, different types of dresses. And we got used to the dress now, more than our real identity. We have forgotten that. Dresses become our identity. Body is the dress, right? So, and we have forgotten. What is the reason for that? Krishna is saying here that if you have inquired about that Paramam Padam, what he spoke about that, then you won't get this identity back again, of bodily identity, of different bodies, right? That getting this bodily identity and continuously changing it is called bhavarogam, bhavam. Bhavam means that. Keep on changing this body, right? And in order to do that, Krishna says that the tomeva adhyam purusham, tomeva jadhyam purusham prabaddhi, in the fourth verse, he said that, take the shelter, bhakti. Bhakti is the only solution for that. and I am surrender, taking his shelter. He says, Tameva chadyam purusham prabadye yada pravarti prasada purani. That is the solution to the problems, which means sharanagati. Sharanagati, right? So, what is a sharanagati? What for sharanagati? Sharanagati is for this purpose. Asking Krishna, please release me from this cycle. Samsara chakram, the cycle of birth and death. Please take me out from this chakram. That is what for sharanagati is for. Sharanagati, this is a giant wheel, isn't it? We keep on going, one after the other. Please release me from this cycle of birth and death, right? Samsara chakra gataye parameshwaraya. If you look into Bhagavadam, you will see a beautiful verse there. And that's so interesting, that verse, in the 10th canto, in the 49th chapter. And the same thing is in the Mahabharatam also, that verse comes in. Who is saying this? Dhritarashtra is saying this. What did Dhritarashtra say? And Krishna decided to send Akrura to Dhritarashtra as a warning of what is going to come in the future, before the war happened. Mahabharata war happened. Before that, Krishna sent Akrura to Hastinapur to talk to Dhritarashtra, to make him aware what is going to happen in the future. So when he went and met him there, he spoke to him and he told him, Dhritarashtra cannot see, he was blind, one thing. Secondly, all his children were very wicked, starting from Duryodhana onwards. They were all very wicked, right? And then they had this, they were trying to cheat the Pandavas and get rid of them from there. So Krishna's first effort to bring peace was to send Akrura there to talk to Dhritarashtra and to come to some, you know, settlement about it, right? So Akrura goes there and speaks to Dhritarashtra about it, to advise him that you should not behave like this towards the Pandavas. Don't quarrel with them, and you should look after them like your own children, because after all his brother's sons they were, Pandu's brothers, children they were. You should look after them like that. At that time, you know what Dhritarashtra told them? Dhritarashtra says to him, let me tell you my situation. Dhritarashtra says to Akrura, right? When you are telling me all these things, he says, I agree that what you are saying, it convinces me that you are right, what you are telling me. But when Bhishma tells me something, I feel what Bhishma is saying is the right thing. I feel like that. And then Bhishma said also that I have to somehow change this character of Duryodhana. I have to somehow properly instruct him and make him do the right thing. So whatever Akrura has spoken, Dhritarashtra is saying what you have said is the right thing. I am accepting that. Similarly, Bhishma has also spoken to me about Duryodhana, and I agree with him that I have to do something about Duryodhana. Problem is Duryodhana is the problem. So I have to do that, he said. So, but problem, he says, after hearing from you and from Bhishma, then when Duryodhana comes and talks to me, when he says to me what he has got to say, I start thinking that what he is saying is the right thing. This is his dilemma. Who? Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra is saying, when Akrura is saying something, I accept it, that it is the right thing. I feel, get convinced by that. When Bhishma is saying something, I also feel that Bhishma is right, and I can accept that. But then when Duryodhana comes and says to me something, I feel Duryodhana is also saying the right thing. What am I supposed to do? This is the situation, right? So, what was the reason for that? He says, you know, Dhritarashtra says to Akrura, why is it happening like that? And how do I know that? How do I know that? Durava bhoda vihara tandra samsara chakra gadaye parameshwaraya. In those two lines, Dhritarashtra summarized the whole thing. Durava bhoda vihara tandra samsara chakra gadaye parameshwaraya. Then Krishna there, who is sitting in everyone's heart, he is creating this problem for me. Right? So let me offer my respects to him first. Krishna, who is sitting in the heart of Duryodhana, in the heart of Bhishma, in the heart of Akrura, is speaking all these things. Because who is creating the thoughts? Antaryami inside. Antaryami inside Krishna. So let me offer my respects to him first, who is confusing me through all these three different personalities. That's how he answered that. And I cannot understand that because the mind is going along with it each time. When Akrura, same thing, mind goes along with that. When Bhishma says something, mind goes along with that. And when Duryodhana comes and says to me something, my mind agrees with that also. So who is doing this? Duryavabhodha vihara tandra samsara chakragadaye parameshwaraya. Let me offer my respects to that Andaryami inside, who is doing this, he said, right? So this is this thing called mind. We all know this, isn't it? How mind acts in our life also. We are also same like Dhritarashtra's family members, we are in that sense that some mind is dictating and accordingly we are acting in this world. Mind tells something, we go and do that. Mind tells something else, we go and do that. Right? So this chakram, samsara chakram, right? The driver is that mind. Driver is the mind. And at the same time, different times it gives you different ideas, different thoughts, right? And it makes you to work in different ways because mind will control from inside everything. Without our knowledge, all this is happening. What should I do? He said. So, yeah, when you hear this Dhritarashtra's words, right? When you are hearing these things, you may think like that, is it not our own story? Is it not? Don't you feel like that? That this is our situation in this world. We think that we made the decision and we think that everything is happening, so everything is under our control. This is how we are going on in this world with our mind and the thoughts that comes into the mind. Right? So, and many people will come and give you advice also, what you should do in life, right? And when they say like that, people give you different type of advices, and you start feeling, oh, they are telling the right thing, I should follow them. And then you go home, and you talk to somebody else, you will start feeling that what they are saying is the right thing. People at home, what they are telling you. Or, if you have some friends whom you are constantly in communication, and they give you some advice, you may start thinking what they are saying is the right thing. Right? So, that is why he says here, what can you do? And that is what is called Prakriti. This is how Prakriti deals with us. Prakriti will give you advice like this through different people in different ways. And you will get completely confused. We all do that. It's not. Right? So, this Prakriti, when it starts swirling around like this, even those who have got a good fortune, they are called a Sukriti. Even Sukritis get trapped in that, swirling of the Prakriti. They get trapped in that. How do you win over this Prakriti, right? Only option is, like Dhritarashtra said, that Parameshwaraya, samsara chakragadaye Parameshwaraya, that Parameshwara's shelter, Sharanagari, that's the only way. And somehow or the other, taking his shelter and by surrender, if he releases from this Prakriti, then you become free, right? So that depends on that Kripa, mercy of Krishna. And because our own mind is not in our hands. Mind is controlling me rather than me controlling the mind. Mind is dictating to me, oh, I should do this or I should do that. And where did the mind get the idea from? So therefore, devotees, what they do, they hand over the mind to Krishna. Hand over the mind to Krishna. And tell Krishna, you fix it for me. This thing called mind. That is all bhakti sadhana. Bhakti sadhana means handing over the mind to Krishna and asking Krishna to fix it. This mind is a whole problem. And if we depend on the mind, so we say to Krishna, devotees say to Krishna, I hand over my body, I hand over mind, everything to you. If I try on my own, I cannot fix it. Neither the body nor the mind. You please fix it for me, right? There is nothing more you can pray to Krishna. That's all you can do, right? Whichever way my body has to be disciplined or the mind has to be disciplined, you should do it in that way. Whichever way it is necessary, and make it pakvam, perfect in that way, and make me a recipient of your mercy, Krishna's mercy, right? So, in other words, make me eligible for self-realization. And so that I can cut off that tree, what you have spoken about, samsara vraksham, right? Because Krishna mentioned there, isn't it? Asanga shastrena dradena chitva. That's the word Krishna has used in the Bhagavad Gita. Asanga shastrena dradena chitva, right? And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, Kapilopadesham, Devahudi says this, also the same thing, right? Devahudi accepted her son, Kapila Maharshi, as the guru, as the spiritual master. She goes to him, and then she says to him, you cut that tree for me, my samsara vriksham. They say in samsara vriksham what Krishna is talking about here. Devahudi Devi says to Kapila Maharshi, you cut that tree for me, right? And many names, Devahudi has addressed her guru, Kapila Maharshi, in different names. But ultimately she says, you are like the axe to cut that tree. That is surgery for that, cutting that tree, right? And hands over herself, like you hand over yourself to a surgeon to do the operation. In the same way, Devahudi Devi handed over herself to Kapila Maharshi to do the operation, right? And praying to him in this way. What is that Parama Padam, what Krishna is talking about? Once you get that Padam, then there is no more coming back again, right? There is nothing else to achieve in life after that. The Kathopanishad words, right? Neither sun, moon, fire, everything. Where do they get that power of illumination? It comes from that Chaitanyam, Antaryami Chaitanyam, right? So, we are not talking about the external light here. This bodham, consciousness, that comes to sun, moon and all, and with the presence of that consciousness only, Chaitanyam only, they get their power to manifest in the form they are manifesting in this world. Here, prakasham means knowledge, jnanam, right? And when we say light, Yasyabhasa Saromidam Vibhadi, when we say light, he is spoken as knowledge. Knowledge is light, prakasham. Prakasham means light, right? So, because when we see objects, we are not able to recognize them. For this requires prakasham. So, when the light illuminates the object, that is when it becomes visible to us. So, therefore, light is called prakasham, right? So, similarly, this Antaryami, by its prakasham, due to that, we get the experience of the self. We realize who we are. That is why it is called Yasya Bhasa Sarvamidam Vibhadi. You see that? It's not like the way we say normally that the light from the lamps or light from the sun or the moon. Not in that context. That just like light gives us the existence of so many things in this world, our senses are able to operate because of the light from the sun. Similarly, Antaryami inside, due to its knowledge, Antaryami Jnanam, due to Antaryanam, that it makes us aware who we are. Instead of realizing that we are this body, we are the mind, we are the senses, instead, when we realize who we are with the help of the Antaryami, that is why it is called Prakasham. Yasya Bhasa Sarvamidam Vibhadi, right? So, Swayameva, that means on its own, Antaryami can do that. It doesn't require any help from anywhere else. Antaryami on its own can reveal our actual identity to us. So that is why it is so important, the Antaryami's role in self-realization. Without that, and this power of the Antaryami, it is also called Prakasham, like the light from the sun. It's also called Prakasham. But this Antaryami is more powerful than the sun or the moon or a lamp, and it is this, nothing else can replace it. What Antaryami can do, nobody else can do that, right? So, this knowledge of the self, where does that happen? Knowledge of the self happens, is not happens in the buddhi or not in the mind. The knowledge of the self does not happen in the buddhi or in the mind, right? And when buddhi and mind goes away, that is when the knowledge of self happens. Right? So, the Alpanubhavam or self-realization is something that happens in the hrut, hrudeshe. That is why Krishna said that. Ishara sarvabhudanam hrudeshe arjuna tishtadi. It has to happen here only, in hrudeshe. Right? So, it is given different names, Suruba Nishayam and all that. Because it happens within oneself, it is more intimate to us than anything else outside. Anything else outside, right? So, what can manifest outside and what you can perceive through senses, this realization of Antaryami from inside, revealing our identity, is much more closer to us than what you realize through from outside anything. Say, for example, if you realize a form outside, deity or actual form itself, outside if you realize, it is something outside you. Whereas Antaryami realization happens from inside, right? That is why it is called Bodham. Bodham. Bodham Pradibodha Vihidam. Upanishad says like that, right? In other words, permanently realize the truth in consciousness, and Alpa is something to be known in that way. For example, sun is only known in the daytime. The moon is known in the night time, right? And in the darkness, normally you need a light to see things, right? But Antaryami realization has nothing to do with the day, night, or darkness. It is present all the time. That's the difference, right? And what is present all the time in day or night or in darkness or any time, what is present inside us is, there's only one thing, that is Bodham, consciousness, Bodham, right? So, it is due to Bodham, it is in that our Bodham that we get to know the existence of the sun, existence of the moon and things like that, or planets, right? So that is why it is nadat bhasayade suryo na shashango na bhavaga yad gatva na nivartande taddhama paramam mama, what Krishna said in the last words. And so knowing this, that is our swarupam, that bodham is our swarupam, and that is realizing Krishna, realizing Antaryami, whichever way we need to call it. You can call by any other names, right? But once it happens that, Krishna is saying here, we realize that, when we get that realization, we'll know that we is not something, some vastu or some object far away from here. The truth, in other words, the truth, is not something far away from us, or not that something what is discussed in the Shastram, but actually that truth is within ourselves, right? And it is present inside us in our own experience level, on a constant basis, continuously, and that is our Swarupam, Bodham. That Bodham is our Swarupam. And that Anubhuti is what Krishna has spoken in that words. What he called it as Padam Avyayam Tad. Gachandya Moda Padam Avyayam Tad. Going back to that source where we have come from. Right? And Paramam Padam. So, one who has realized that Anubhuti is Amudha. Krishna calls him as Amudha. In other words, his Maudhyam has gone. What is Maudhyam means? The Modhatvam or Maudhyam means that Maudhyam means this dullness in us, not knowing the truth. We are in that state at the moment, is it not? We don't know who we are. And we are running around in this world doing different things. We also don't know why we are doing all these things. We also don't know where we are going. We also don't know where we came from. This is all Maudhyam. Modhatvam it is, not knowing these things, right? So, when Krishna mentions there, Gachandi Amudha Padam Abhyam, he becomes free from that Maudhyatvam, right? Then he said, when that Bodham, the Chaitanyam inside us, when it is in contact with the Upadhi, Upadhi means gross body, subtle body, all these are our Upadhi, senses, everything, we call him as Jiva. We call him as Jiva. So, Advaitam, this is where the system changes, right? Advaitis don't have any problem with Vishishta Advaitam or Dvaitam. There is no problem with any one of them, right? So, because all these things happens, Advaitis knows these things. That this Vishishtadvaitam and Dvaitam is also required. Why? In sadhana mandalam you need that. You have to think about it. Only then you will understand. People do not think all these things. They just read what they read in the books and then they start arguing, quarreling each other. That is not how it is. Advaitis know very well that in sadhana mandalam you require those relationships, Vishishtadvaitam and Dvaitam as well, right? In the parampara of the rishis, Acharya Swamiji has remained as the proponent of Advaitam. He remained like that, in the state of Advaitam, right? Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Nimbarkacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not have a Siddhantam of his own. You should look at it carefully. Mahaprabhu did not create any Siddhantam of his own. Later on, the Goswamis created the Siddhantam for the Gaudiya Vaishnava traditions, right? So, therefore, Ramanujacharya has Vishishta Advaitam, and similarly, Madhvacharya has Dvaitam, similarly, Nimbarkacharya has the Kevala Advaitam, Shuddha Dvaitam Vallabhacharya, they all came much later, right? So, all these Vaishnava Acharyas, they are all Dvaitis. They are all Dvaitis, right? Vallabhacharya, Nimbarkacharya, Madhvacharya, and even Ramanuja, they are all Dvaitis, right? This Dvaita Sampradayam, or the all these Dvaitam Acharyas, they have come to protect the Upasana Sampradayam. For maintaining the importance of bhakti and to protect the bhakti processes, they have come. Ramanujar, Madhva, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimbarkacharya, Vallabhacharya, all of them have come. Because if you look into their philosophy, you will see this, that they have propounded the philosophy in such a way to protect the bhakti side of it, to maintain bhakti here. For that purpose they had come. Acharya Swamiji came here to maintain the truth, Advaitam. Advaitam is the truth, there is no disagreement on that. Because you can see, like Anjaneya Swami said to Ramachandra, is it not? He said that, Dehi, when I am the body, I am your servant. When I am Jiva, I am your Amsham. But when I am in the platform of the soul, I am not different from you. You know that famous words, right? It's in the Ramayana. So the same thing, they have come the other acharyas who came later in order to protect the upasana sampradaya, upasana bhakti process. Ramanuja propounded bhakti, Madhvacharya propounded bhakti, Nimbarkacharya propounded bhakti, Vallabhacharya propounded bhakti, and similarly Mahaprabhu also propounded, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also propounded bhakti. So all those acharyas who came later, they have come to protect bhakti in this world and to keep people in the path of bhakti so that they could progress to realize the ultimate truth of the Advaitam, right? So, but Acharya Swamiji did not give that so much importance as much he has given to the Upanishads. Upanishad Tattvam he wanted to protect because Upanishads is from the Vedam. Upanishads are from the Vedam. So, so that is why you will notice this in the Acharya Swamiji's parambara, whoever had come, they have not refuted anybody else. They have no quarrel with anyone else. Paramacharya spoke to Ramanuja's disciples also. Ramanuja Sampradaya disciples, many have come to him, he has spoken to them, right? So they have not decided in the Acharya Swamiji's parambara, nobody has refuted Vishishtadvaitam, Dvaitam, or Achindya Vedavedam, or anything, right? Because they are all called Upasana Sampradaya. They have all brought in Upasana Sampradaya. That was their priority, to look after the Upasana process, right? So, because they are also required in this world. Bhakti is also required in this world, right? So, because only with Upasana, when Chitta Shuddhi happens, only then Jnanam will come. Knowledge, self-realization will happen. So, this has been a cycle going on like this for a long period of time, right? And only when Chitta Shuddhi happens, knowledge, self-realization can happen. So, in order for Chitta Shuddhi to happen, bhakti is required. For bhakti to be, to protect bhakti, Upasana Sampradayam is necessary. And that Upasana Sampradayam is what Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Nimbarkacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have all done that. They have all done that. So, simply by hearing some lectures or going to some Vedanta classes, knowledge of the self won't come, right? Only with Upasana, when the Chitta Shuddhi happens, only when then the knowledge will come in a person, right? So, in Upasana Mandalam, in the field of Upasana, me, you, he or she, all these things will always be there in the Upasana Mandalam, right? And there you are actually an Amsham, you are a part, right? And Krishna is Amshi, he is Amshi, right? So that is the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. Sri Vaishnava says like that, Amsham, Amshi, in that way. Krishna is Amsham and we are the Amshi, right? Anjaneya Swami said that, he said not to Ramachandra, I have got these three relationships with you, right? Ramachandra asked him, right, what is your relationship with me? Ramachandra asked him, Hanuman, what is your relationship with me, right? Hanuman Anjaneya replied like that, Deha Buddhyastu Dasoham. When I am thinking I am this body, I am your servant. There is no question about that. It is true. When I am in the bodily platform, I am your servant, right? Deha Buddhyastu Dasoham. Jiva Buddhyastu Damshaka Vishishta Dvaitam. Deha Buddhyastu Dasoham is Dvaitam. Jiva Buddhyata Damshaka is Vishishta Dvaitam. I am your Amsham. When I am thinking I am a Jiva, I am your Amsham. What we call as part and parcel. Part and parcel. Right? And then, Atma Buddhya Tume Vaham. When I am realizing that I am Atma, I am not different from you because you are of the same Vastu. You are Atma, I am also Atma. From the Atma level. Right? Iti me nishchidamadi. This is my conclusion. Hanuman says to Ramachandra. Hanuman says to Ramachandra. So, when you are thinking you are the body, you are your. I am your servant. Right? And sometimes we think like that, I am not this body, and I think that I am the jiva inside me. And when another thought comes to us, right? Sometimes we think we are the body. And when I am thinking I am the body, I am your servant. No doubt. And when I am thinking I am not the body, but I am some jiva inside, At that time, I am just a spark from you, which has come separately from here, right? But when I start realizing that I am Atma, when I come to that stage of Atma, Tomevaham, Tomevaham, I am not different from you. I am same vastu inside me. Andaryami is inside me, right? So, in that verse, Dvaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, Advaitam, everything is covered in that, right? So, these three states happens to all the people who are in spiritual path. When we start our spiritual life, we are Dvaitis. And we will be Dvaitis for a very long period of time. For a long period of time, we will remain as Dvaitis. All the people in this world are Dvaitis. And we will remain as Dvaitis for a very long period of time, right? And great, great personalities, even they will remain in this state of Dvaitam for a long period of time. You will see, even Acharya Swami says that, if you look at the Shivananda Lahiri, there is a statement about that, where he is saying that, I don't have that, a famous verse there, that his prayer is that, I am your servant. Acharya Swami Advaiti is saying this. I am your servant. I am Dinan. Dinan means I am helpless. Completely helpless I am. Right? So this Dinatvam, Dina Bhava means totally feeling helpless in this world. Totally feeling helpless. That is called Dina Bhava. So this Dina Bhava, where did that come from? When you come to the platform of the body, that Dina Bhavam comes. Right? When you are in the platform as a jiva, you think that you are a part of him, amsham, right? Krishna's amsham. And when it comes to self-realization, when you realize the truth ultimately, what happens? There is no difference between me, Andaryami, is my identity. And that is why Krishna said that in the 13th chapter. Kshetratnyam chapimam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharada. Kshetram kshetratnayor jnanam yatal jnanam matam mama. Krishna put that very nicely in that verse. Kshetratnyam chapimam vidhi. I am kshetratnya in everyone. That's Advaitam. That's Advaitam. So Advaitis take that verse very seriously. Kshetratnyam chapimam vidhi. Similarly, aham alma gudakesha. Those two verses strongly support Advaitam in the Bhagavad Gita. You see, Advaitam is strongly supported in the Bhagavad Gita by these two verses. Aham Alpa Gudakesha. Krishna is saying openly to us, I am that Alpa inside you. Similarly, Kshetrajnam Chabhimam Vidhi Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata. Very openly, Krishna has put that there to not to cause any further confusion. But because we don't understand sometimes, we think that everybody is fighting each other. There is no quarrel between the acharyas. It is the followers who quarrel, like everywhere else. Every time that's where happens, isn't it? Followers quarrel, but among the acharyas there is no quarrel. They have come with a mission and they executed their mission and they've gone back. So, upasana sampradayam, in order to maintain bhakti in this world, great acharyas have appeared like Ramanuja or Madhva and all that, and they instituted bhakti sampradayam. To upasana sampradayam through that, and that's what it is. Whereas Acharya Swamiji's role is different. He established the conclusion of the Vedam, purely Vedam as the authority, which means Upanishads. Upanishads is Vedam. So Upanishad's authority he established, and Upanishad's conclusion is Advaitam. It is not anything else. You won't be able to change, argue that on that. Yeah. So so that's what it is. Right? So, Krishna is saying that Kshetrajna is me, present in everyone, right? So, but Krishna is saying Kshetrajna is me, but I am thinking the Kshetrajna as Jiva. See the confusion there. Kshetrajna is inside Andaryami, inside. And I have no access to him at the moment. My identification at the moment is jiva. And that jiva is coming from Kshetrajna only, but with upadhi. Upadhi is created jiva, basically. Upadhi is created jiva, right? So, so even when you are studying Vedantam and analyzing Upanishads and the Bhagavad Gita and all, right? Up to a certain stage, you will know that I am not this body, I am not this mind, and within all these things, there is this experience of me, I am, that experience inside. And you start thinking, what is it then, this I am? Is it not? We all do have the problem. Okay, first of all, we begin with the body. As soon as you study Bhagavad Gita a little bit, it's clear that I'm not the body. Easily understandable, right? I'm not the body. Then you go on inside a little bit. Then you start thinking, is the mind me? And then when you start evaluating the mind, or when you start looking at the mind, how it behaves, I start realizing that that cannot be me, because the mind is funny. It will take you in one direction, next moment in another direction. And Upanishads also saying, it's not you, mind is not you. So, then you are asking, who is me then, if it is none of these, right? Then you slowly go inwards and start thinking about your existence, who I am. Awareness, bodham comes there, right? So, at that time, some bodham comes to us, something beyond the body and the mind, but still, you are not able to touch the Antaryami there. It comes out to us in the form of Ahangaram. That Ahangaram is Jiva. That Ahangaram is Jiva. So, when you are becoming free from that Ahangaram, even when you experience the Ahangaram, you are still inside the body, right? And it is within the body you are getting that experience of ego, ahangaram working, right? Which means that avidya has not gone. Avidya is still present inside, right? So, body, the ahangaram, when you go beyond all these things, then our inquiry touches the Antaryami inside. Inquiry touches the Antaryami inside. So, through Atma Vijaram or self-realization process, right, you will notice that in that process, self-realization, that there exists this jiva inside, which is this ahangaram, and that ahangaram is again separate from the body as well as from the mind, existing inside separately from the body and the mind. At the same time, it is Chaitanyam, but again separate from the Antaryami. So, to come, you see how the steps progress in the self-realization. Initially begins with the body, then you move on to the platform of the mind. Only when you touch the Ahangaram, it is in between, between the mind and the Antaryami. Ahangaram pops up. That Ahangaram, when you get there, you will start realizing that still you have not touched the real me inside, Antaryami inside. So, you know, this example is there in the Bhagavatam also, if you only you have to think about it, right? Remember when Parikshit Maharaj, in the 5th chapter of the 12th canto, when Brahmopadesham was given, Sukadeva Goswami, Shrishaka Brahmarshi, told Parikshit like this, you see the pot is there, the space is inside, the space is outside. Gadagasham, Mahagasham. Actually, is there a space inside, space outside? Nothing there. There's only one space. This pot has come in between, and because of the presence of the pot, you are thinking there is two spaces. Space inside the pot, space outside the pot. Gadagasham, Mahagasham. Right? But once you break that pot, what happens? There's only one Agasham there. And that is when Jiva Bhavam goes away. Ahangaram goes away. Ahangaram is that thing what is creating the pot. When Ahangaram gets destroyed, there is only the space, Antaryami inside. So, so when the pot is broken, you get to realize that the Agasham or the space inside and the space outside is one and the same thing. How you realize that at that moment? Similarly, When ahankaram breaks up, completely goes away, we realize that there is only one vastu inside, that tatpada lakshyartham. In Vedantam they call it as bhanam. That's the word for that. Tatpada lakshyartham, bhanam. Or sometimes they use another word called pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna. So, these words are important. Pratyabhijna. All Vedantic people who study Vedantam, they will use this terminology. Pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna is the thing. Pratyabhijna means, suddenly, ahankaram getting destroyed and you are realizing yourself. Pratyabhijna. That's what it's called, right? So, this sound of this word, pratyabhijna, bhanam, you should not substitute with anything else. There is no translation for all these things. It is the word of the rishis, and it's better to understand what it means and use the word all the time, right? So, if we don't use those words, what will happen is we will bring so many other words and cause problems from that, right? So, talpadhyartha prakasham, that means this illumination happens from within. So, at that time, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, this thing called a jiva, that is the words we are discussing now. Mamai vamsho jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana, mana shashtani indriyani, prakritisthani karshadi, he said. Yeah? So, he is saying there that this, when you say you are a jiva, you are within the prakriti. You are inside the prakriti, right? Where you have got these six senses, which means five senses and the mind together, right? So Krishna says he is called jiva. He is called jiva. Five senses and the mind, right? Actually, senses are in the mind. This may not be easily understood because mind is actually the senses itself, right? These are just holes only in the body. Which one? The eyes, the ears, the nose, genitals and all. They are all just holes in the body, the mouth. It is just holes only. Where is the control of all this? In the mind. So actually the senses are in the mind. Yeah. And for example, a person who cannot see things is blind, right? But he has got eyes. He has got eyes, but he can't see things, right? He has got an instrument called eye, but but he cannot see anything, right? For example, if a blind person is walking, and suddenly from behind, if you clap the hands, he will turn back and look at you. You'll try to find out where the sound has come from. He will look back, right? So, suppose he cannot see the eye. Why is he looking back? You see how perfect Shastram is. Science cannot explain all these things, right? Then, suppose a blind person is walking. From behind I have clapped a hand. He turns back straight away. Why? Because the eye is actually in his mind. Only his instrument has gone bad. Instrument is not working. In order to see, you require the eye. But the sense of the eye is in the mind. That's why he is turning back when you clap the hand from behind. Think about it. You will understand that, right? So that means he has got the sense to look back, right? But he's not able to come out because the eye is not operating. Holes are there. But he is not able to see through the hole. Not able to see the hole. So strictly speaking, Shastram says that if I have decided that I will not see through the eyes anymore, if I have decided like that, I don't want to look through the eyes anymore, I want to withdraw my eyes from the eyes. If it happens like that, then inside I have made a decision. I don't want to look through the eyes anymore into the world. All right. So, but when I go into the dream state, I'm still seeing. I shut my eyes. I don't want to see anything in this world because everything is mess around. So I don't want to look at the world. But when I go to sleep, I'm seeing things still. Right? So how do I see the things? Just like people who can see other things through the eye, in the same way I see the things in the dream, is it not? Right? So you look at that point and see, a person who is normally blind, by birth itself, say somebody is blind, right? When he sees things, is that the same way we are seeing the dream state? How do we see in the dream state? Is it similar to someone who was born blind? How he sees things? Is that the same way? Right? So, a person who is blind, how he dreams at night, in his dream how he sees that, we can also see the dream in the same way only. A blind person, when he is dreaming, how he is seeing things in the dream, we can also see things only in the same way in the dream state, right? And that is the reality. Not that he is seeing things like the way we see. We see like the way he is seeing in the same way, right? So, for a person who is blind, right? For him, Swapnam means dream, is vikara pratyaksham. That's the word used for that. Vikara pratyaksham means it gives a form to him based on his emotions. The form that manifests in the dream is based on his emotions inside, right? In other words, vikara pratyaksham means it is emotions that is creating the form in the dream of the person whom you are seeing in the dream. That person is blind. He cannot see any form outside. The problem with us is we have completely ignored dream state and the deep sleep. And simply we caught up in this vacant state. And this alone is the truth for us. And to come out of this is a lot of effort required. To start accepting that the dream state and the deep sleep is as real as the vacant state. Why have we fallen into this ignorance? To think that only vacant state is real. Only what I see through my eyes I will believe. If we keep in that state, there is no question of self-realization. It's not possible. Completely, absolutely impossible. This is a big problem with the science. Science has put us this condition on us. That only what you perceive through the senses is real. And only what you see through the senses is real. If I live in this ignorance, what opportunity, how do we understand Bhagavad Gita then? How do we understand Bhagavatam or Upanishads for that matter? Rishis gave equal importance to the deep sleep state as well as for the dream state. Because without any purpose, Krishna would not have put those two states with us. He could have otherwise kept us 24 hours in the vacant state. And we would have finished up this whole planet by the end of the day. Thank goodness Krishna has given us this too, so that at least a few hours we don't operate freely like the way we are. So in our creation, as we are created now, that to think that vacant state alone is real is not a very proper conclusion, right? So what he is saying here is that is why you see in Bhagavatam how it is spoken, Vishwam, Taijasam, Prajnan. Why these three titles given to the Antaryami? Because in these three states he behaves in three different ways. And all three of them are equally real. You can't wipe out deep sleep and Swapnam, dream state, from that, right? So, so when you are dreaming at that time, what is happening there is that this mind can give you all the work what is done by the five senses in the vacant state, in the dream state. None of the senses are working, but the experience you can have with the help of the mind, who will do the job of all the five senses in the dream state. In the dream state. So, so what Krishna is saying here is that, that mind, yeah, mamaivamsho jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana, that mind with all the senses is called the jiva. Is called jiva. Mind with all the senses, right? And jiva is nothing but a movement of that chaitanyam through this dream state and the deep sleep state. So, so this movement of this mind with the senses, which you are experiencing in the dream state, Krishna is saying that is jiva. That is jiva. Or you can call it as amsham or ego, whatever it is. Or that's the same thing, what we call as personality. What we call as personality is that jiva. And we are telling the world you have to develop that personality. And Bhagavad Gita is for that. Is there anything more stupid than that, to tell others that Bhagavad Gita is for personality development? Courses are running, isn't it? Yeah. So, and the state when you go further from that is Sushupti, where there is no personality anymore, right? So, in Sushupti, we have the experience without a personality, and when you come out from that Sushupti back to the dream state, that's when personality comes back. Personality comes back, right? And in the dream state, you can clearly see that personality doing things. Antaryami is behind, and personality is doing everything. And the movement of the jiva, you can notice in dream state. That's the benefit of the dream state. Now you tell me, have the rishis understood our body and the mind and the senses better, or the sciences understood? Where is the answer to all these things? When jiva is clearly visible, because what is happening then in the dream state? We are going shopping in the shopping mall, you are talking to people, and I am seeing that, experiencing that. Is it not? Me, in the shopping mall with others, talking to each other or doing some shopping, whatever it is, I am able to see that inside me very clearly. That is when you realize that you have that aspect called the jiva exist inside. It is that jiva aspect that is displaying its power in the dream state. In the dream state. So that is what Krishna is saying here also, that that this movement of the life from vacant state to dream state, and what he is doing, all these different activities in the dream state, that's called jiva, which is my amsham. Amsham in the sense that he has come from me. I am the source of that. Mamaivamsho jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana, mana shashtanindriyani prakritisthani karshati. Krishna has put that very succinctly like that, right? So, so having said that, then he said that in the Kathopanishad, if you look, it has taken from the Kathopanishad. This verse has come from Kathopanishad. The close connection between Kathopanishad and Bhagavad Gita, apart from Chandokyam and Chedashvara Upanishad and all others, right? So if you look into the Kathopanishad, there is a verse there. Ya esha. See how Kathopanishad puts it much more clarity. Ya esha supteshu jagarti kamam 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 purusho nirmimanaha tadeva shukram tal brahmam tadevam amrutam uchyate tasmin loka ashrita sarveda tadunati edi kaschana edadvaitada. Right? So while you are sleeping, even at that time, one who is waking, wake up, woken up inside. Even when you are sleeping, somebody has woken up inside, and who is creating different desires there in the dream state. Yeah? And based on your vasanas and other thing, vasanas are the desires. And who bring them out in the dream state and present it to you based on your vasanas, the dream state. That Purusha, he says, and it he is present, this is all happening because of the Antaryami's presence in the dream state, right? And he comes through the eye and gives us the experience of the form in the world outside, right? And similarly, he goes through the ear and hears the sound from the creation and brings it in, right? And he goes through the tongue and experiences the taste of the objects in this world. And similarly, through the skin, it experiences the touching experience. When you touch something, you feel that touching, sense of touch. It is him, Krishna, Daryami inside, who has come in that way, right? And when he pulls back inwards, what happens? Dream state happens. When Antaryami pulls out from the vacant state, from inside us, we fall into dream state, right? And then when we go into further, when he pulls out, pulls in, we fall into Sushupti state. So Antaryami controls the vacant state, controls the dream state, controls the deep sleep. All the three states. When he pulls back from vacant state, we fall into dream state. When he pulls back from the dream state, we fall into deep sleep. That's the way it happens, right? And he mentions there that the once you go into deep sleep state, then what remains there is that you remain purely in that state where there is no jiva anymore. So, where is jiva gone then? If something has to be true, it should exist in all the three states. But in the Sushupti state, you are not experiencing him. So jiva is gone, right? So, till we have that jiva, what we are talking about, till we have complete experience of that, right, you can only say that he is amsham. He is a part, right? And amsham means you can say a spark, right? So Krishna is the fire and these are all the sparks. Jivas are all the sparks from that big fire, right? And that is why we will look at that after the break. Chedo darpanam arjanam vahumaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam ஆனந்தாம்புதி வர்தனம் பிரதிபத பூர்ணாமிரதாஸ்வாதனம் சர்வாத்மா சுபனம்பரம் விஜயதே ஸ்ரீகிருஷ்ண சங்கீர்த்தனம் நாம்நாமகாரி பகுதா நிஜ சர்வசக்தி தத்ரார்ப்பிதா நீமிதா ஸ்மரணேன கால ஏதாதிருஷீ தவ கிருபா பகவன் மமாபி துர்தைவமீதமிஹாஜனி நானுராகாஹ திருநாரபீஷு நீச்சேனோ தரோரபி சகிஷ்ணுனா அமானினா மானவீனா கீர்த்தனீய சதா ஹரி நதனம் நஜனம் நுந்தரீம் கவிதாம் வா ஜகதீஷகாமே மம ஜன்மனி ஜன்மனீஸ்வரி பவதால் பக்திரஹே துகி த்வயி ஐ நந்தனூஜகிங்கரம் பதிதாமாம்ஷமே பவாம்புதோ கிருபையா தவ பாத பங்கஜஸ்திததூளி சதிருஷம் விசிந்தயாம் நயனம் கலதசுதாரயா வதனம் கத்கதருத்தயா கிரா புலகேர் நிஜதம் கதாவபூத்தவன் நாமகிரஹணே பவிஷ்யதி யுகாயுதம் நிமேஷேனா சக்ஷுஷா ப்ராவிஷாயுதம் சூன்யாயுதம் ஜகல் சர்வம் கோவிந்த விரஹேண மே ஆஸ்லிஷ்ய வா பாதரதாம் வினஷ்டு மாம் அதர்ஷனம் அர்மஹதாம் கரோது வா யதா ததா வா விததா துலம்பனோ மத் பிராணநாதா சுனையேவ நாபரா சர்வத்ர கோவிந்த நாம சங்கீர்த்தனம் கோவிந்த கோவிந்தம். சோ திஸ் வேர்ட்ஸ் மமைவாம்சோ ஜீவலோகே ஜீவபூத சநாதன மன ஷஷ்டானிந்திரியாணி பிரகிருதிஸ்தானி கர்ஷதி. Krishna is making a clear understanding of that, saying here that in the jiva loga means this prakriti within that, yeah, the jiva also is dependent on me, in the sense that when Krishna says me means Brahman, Antaryami, that Antaryami himself comes as jiva. Antaryami comes as jiva, right? And it is that jiva which is pulling the mind and the senses. Antaryami doesn't. This aspect of Antaryami as jiva is the one which deals with the mind and the senses, which works with the mind and the senses. You see the difference? Antaryami's reflection is jiva. Jiva is not different from Antaryami. But when Upadhi comes in, mind, intelligence, ahangaram, chittam, that's when jiva, it becomes jiva. So the reflection of Antaryami in the subtle body is jiva. And ahangaram is basically jiva. So that jiva is the one which deals with the senses and the mind. That jiva is the one which pulls the mind, which pulls the senses, right? Look at the commentary on that. Eva paramatmanam shubhagaha avayva ekadesha idi anarthandaram jiva loge jivanam loge samsare jiva budho bhokta karta idi prasiddha sanatanaha. He says, it is this jiva who is saying, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Karta bhokta, that comes from jiva, right? And therefore, they are all my parts, Krishna is saying. They are all my parts, right? And this tattvam is very famous, sanatanam. He says, this tattvam, jiva tattvam. Why? Yatha jala suryaka suryamsho jala nimittaha paye suryam eva gatva nannivartande tatha ayam abhi amshatena eva almana sangachali evam eva. The comparison is like this, that when, suppose there is a lake, and in the lake, the sun is reflecting in the lake, right? And if this lake dries up, there is no water in the lake. Where is the sun in the water has gone? It's gone back to the original sun, is it not? Original sun was reflecting in the water, in the lake. And so in the summertime, the lake got dried up, so there was no water. So where did the sun in the lake go? It went back to the source where it came from, right? So the jivalma is like that. It has come from that original Andaryami and did all these things, what it's doing in this world. Karta, bhokta, ragam, dvesham. It's all for jivatma. And eventually, when the body gets destroyed, it goes back into... When the body is there, gross body and subtle body is there, he is there. When the gross body and subtle body, when it's completely destroyed, he's gone back to the source where it came from. Yathava gadadi ubhaji parichinam, gadadi agasham agasham shasan, gadadi nimitto vayam agasham prapya na nivartade iti evam, ada upavannam uktam yadgatva na nivartande iti. Just like the pot example, gadagasham athagasham, right? When the agasham, the space inside the pot becomes one with the space outside, when the pot is broken up. That is another comparison for that. In other words, so therefore, what Krishna said, yadgatvana nivartande taddhama paramam mama, he said. What does it mean? Once he has gone back to its source, there is no question of him coming back again. Nanu nirvayasya paramatmana kratam avayam egadesham amshaydi sa avayavatvyecha vinasha prasangam avayava vibhagad. So, Andaryami Chaitanyam, he does not have any avayam. Avayam means these different components in the body, hands, legs, these are all the avayams. Andaryami Chaitanyam doesn't have any avayam, right? Then how do you say, when he has no parts, how do you say that he is a part of this Andaryami then, right? if it is like that, when the components are destroyed, right, the Paramatma also must be get destroyed. You have to say like that. It's a little tricky thing to think in that way. Yeah. So it is not like that, he says, because na esha doshaha avidya kritam upadhi nimit parichanyam ekadesha amsham iva kalpido yagaha darshidaha cha ayam artha kshetra adhyaye vistarasha. He says, this amsham, or part and parcel, when we say, it is based on this understanding. What is that? Due to avidya inside us, due to the presence of avidya inside us, right? Due to that avidya, upadhis are there. Upadhis were created by the avidya. And avidya has come from prakriti. Remember all last chapters, previous chapters, what Krishna was saying, that the avidya inside has come from prakriti. And due to avidya, this upadhis have come. Due to avidya. And due to that, this amsham has come. Amsham means a specific part of that. Amsham, amshi, that relationship has come, right? And this was discussed in that Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yoga, in the 13th chapter. We have discussed this topic. Right? Sa eva jivo mad amshatvena kalpita katham samsaradi ulkramadi iti uchyate. And then also that jiva who is considered to be an amsham of the Andaryami inside, how he enters into samsaram, material existence, and how he is going to get out of the samsaram, these things are going to be discussed now. Manashashtani indriyani, shrotradini, prakritisthani, swasthani, karna shushkulyalo, prakritosthidani, karshadi, agarshadi. What this jiva does is, these five senses what it has got, you know, the five senses of knowledge. When we normally say senses, it is the senses of knowledge. Because it is with the senses of knowledge we interact with the world. So, they have been given a more importance than the senses of action. So, the senses of knowledge and the sixth sense called the mind, together, they all get pulled by this jivatma. Jivatma takes notice of that. And when does he get attracted? That's what Krishna is going to say later. When does this mind and the five senses get pulled in by the jivatma? Right? So, like we saw earlier, we were talking about jiva, right? That's the main topic in this. What is jiva, right? So, the jiva, when, as long as this jiva, as far as we are concerned, till we have full realization, you can only call that jiva as a part and parcel. Till you have full realization. When full realization happens, jiva doesn't exist anymore. So, up to the point of full self-realization, you have to call jiva as a part and parcel only, amsha, right? And here he mentioned that the like the sparks coming from a fire, right? So, because it has come from the big fire, the spark, all the symptoms of the big fire will be present in the spark as well. So, in other words, the presence of that Chaitanyam you will find in the spark also. And that is why in Kapila Maharshi's teachings to Devahuti Devi, there it is, Kapila Maharshi says there, Ishwaro Jiva Kalaya Pravishto Bhagavaniti. You will find the words there in Kapilam. Ishwaro Jiva Kalaya Pravishto Bhagavaniti. 29th chapter, verse 34. Right? Ishwara, along with the Jiva, he has entered into everything. Ishwara along with the Jiva, right? And Jiva Kala, that's why it's called Kala. Kala means Amsham. Kala means Amsham, part, right? Kala, another meaning is art. Art, right? Art also means Amsham. Then what is the complete then? Amsham means part. Then what is the complete? Purnam or perfection, complete, is silence. Is silence. So, just like when you, in silence, when you experience a rasam or taste inside, which comes from, say, for example, a musical concert, sangeetam, or in a dance, or in the art, different arts, you experience a certain feeling inside, which is silence, which is silent, right? So, all these things, which one? The music, and similarly art, dance, all these things is a effort from the human beings to bring out that silence inside. I don't know how to put it better than that. What saying is that all arts, including music, dance, everything, there is something inside us which has to come out and experience. And our effort to do that is all the arts. To bring out that rasam from inside. A rasam we have inside, right? It is hidden inside. We are people, we don't have any rasam. So, so that makes it a little different. But people who have got, why is this art, music, things like that, is people like to go? Because there is something inside us, a rasam. Rasam means a taste. What we taste, which cannot be verbalized. Verbally you can't express that, what that is. And that rasam is saying here. Therefore, when that comes out, all the arts are trying hard to create that rasam in us, to bring it out, right? And instead, from that silence, when the word comes out, or when arts, different types of arts, when we perform, to some extent you can bring out that rasam, taste, just like you bring the Ganga river from the spiritual world into the earth. In the same way, you can bring that mauna rasam, the rasam what you are experiencing in silence, you can bring it out into the field of the words, into the field of the words. So it is like that, if you listen to this, you'll understand what I'm saying, that great personalities who wrote, compiled music at the highest level, I'm not talking about the pop music or anything like that, classical music, right? Great personalities who wrote, like Tyagaraja Swamiji, Muthuswami Devshidhar, Shyama Shastri and all others, right? They have written thousands and thousands of songs glorifying the Ramachandra, Krishna, Sri Parvati and all others, right? They wrote all those things. When people hear them, they completely feel elevated to another level when it is sung properly, right? So, similarly, for example, you know, people who write literature, how they call it, poets and people who compile novels and stories and write books, people like that, right? They are using the same words what the rishis are using. The words are the same, right? And the language is the same. But when you read the rishis' language and when you hear the rishis' instructions or rishis' compilations, you experience something beyond this world when you hear those verses what was written by the rishis. Valmiki's Ramayanam or Vedavyasa Maharshi's Mahabharatam, similarly Krishna's Bhagavad Gita, all these things, what you experience is something which is not in the, from this world. It's not a science to be studied like the way you study other literature. That's what it means, right? Because it carries with it something what we don't understand what that is when it comes from the rishis. When it comes from the rishis, when it comes from these great musicians, those words carry something which we don't know what that is, but it has an effect on us. And that is why then it is called spodam. Spodam means it is able to wake up that awareness, bodham inside us, right? And that spodam, it is a word used for para. You remember sound has got that four stages. Para, pashyanti, madhyama, vaikari. So, chatvaritvani, Vedam says that. Chatvaritvani parimidani, right? And so Vedam says that words have got these four stages. Parapashanti, Madhyama, Vaikari. But when it is, and all the four are experienced by the realized souls. We only know Vaikari when it comes through the lips, isn't it? But where does the sound originate from? It comes from para. Para is the source from where the sound originates. So that sound, then it passes through the other two stages, Pashyanti and Madhyama, and then it comes out in the form, in the most gross form, is Vaikari. And that's all what we are familiar with. Whereas rishis are dealing with para all the time. They are dealing with para. And when it comes from para, and when you are, there is something special about it, instead of when it comes as Vaikari, right? So what our conversation is all this most gross side, Vaikari, right? Whereas the realized persons, their words come from the silence, which means it comes from para, not from the Vaikari. Vaikari is the spoken form. Para is the silent form coming from the very root of the sound. So that is the reason, because it is coming from para, therefore it gives an alaugiyam, it means unusual experience when you hear their songs. Like Tyagaraja Kriti, Tyagaraja Swamiji wrote those songs something like 500, 600 years back. Even today when they are sung, people are still relishing it. Why? Why is that coming from that? Which normally you drill something, after some time it's lost. But the kritis of the great personalities like that, whatever they have written, because it came from para rather than vaihiri, it stayed in this world and still it is able to bring that effect of para to the audience. To the audience, right? So, this is why every art is like that, right? Therefore, these things cannot be taught in the gross level. When you are on a gross platform, you may not be able to experience that. That's why those who have gone and tried that field, in that level of para, they will be able to experience that. Right? Stulam, or the gross part, is only one part of that. Right? The reason why it is said that we are all amsham, part, mamaiva amsho jiva loke, amsham, why is said like that? That it is like an iceberg, right? Our existence, right? On top of an iceberg, it is like a small island you can see on top of an iceberg, if you see it like that, right? When you go down to the deep level of oceans, you realize that there are mountains deep inside the ocean which is taller than the Everest itself. That much depth it can go down, right? So, outside in the land, you can say Everest is the topmost, 29,000 feet or whatever it is. But if you go into the iceberg, if you go down deeper inside, the depth is much more than the height of the Everest in that, right? So, what we are experiencing is that a small part of that depth, what is gone inside, it is what we are seeing outside. What I'm saying is, we, in our real nature, in this realized state, if you look at this body, it is like the tip of the iceberg. Actually, our form, it's not this gross body, first thing. Once you realize the self, it is Antaryami, then you realize this body what we are carrying now is only a very temporary and a very small manifestation of what we actually are when we are with the Antaryami, when we are as Antaryami. That means the whole Antaryami is with us at that time. You know what I'm saying? That the way we are now seeing each other is based on this limited body, mind, senses. Somebody is moving around with two hands, two legs. We think this is our form. What Krishna is saying here is that the deeper if you go inside, you will know that once you realize it, that our actual identity is not this temporary body that is coming out in this form. Different names and forms, right? And what it is, this little thing what has come out in this name and form is what we call as personality. That's what we call as personality, right? So, so perfection or completeness, when it realization happens, then you realize that what you are actually, and not this limited, temporary existence in the form of a gross body like this. We become free from the grip of that, right? And that is why here means ekadesham samsare bhokta karta iti prasiddham. He says, in this samsara material existence, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and all that is done by this limited thing, this limited manifested form like this. That's what is doing all the transactions in this world. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and I am angry, I am greedy, I am lusty, and all kinds of emotions. It's all in relationship with this limited manifested form of this jiva form, right? So, and he is considered to be, from the Shastram point of view, he is like in the circus and all that, they have someone who makes fun, give fun to everybody. Oh, I don't know what the English word.
Clown.
Yeah. This is the clown form of that original thing. The original thing is different. Original clown form is what we are now. The clowns are moving around everywhere. And the clown is saying, I'm doing everything. Clown is thinking that he is in control of everything. So it's the clown, that's the thing. So this clown form is just a dress only. And clown keeps changing its dress. Yeah? So, same thing. Ishvara and Jiva, difference is only in the Upadhi. Ishvara and Jiva, difference is only in the Upadhi, right? Upadhi, when we have, what happens? We have a body, gross body, we have a mind, and then we have what else Upadhi? Male and female, that's also Upadhi. Then rich man, poor man, another Upadhi, right? Then one somebody is very capable and one who is hopeless, not very capable, these kind of things, right? So this is all in the Upadhi only. It's all in the Upadhi only. So that is what this Upadhi does. Upadhi makes what call it parichinatvam. Parichinatvam means limits everything. Our actual form is limited to that. What is the reason for that? Why we feel all these kind of things, which means male and female, rich man and poor man, capable and incapable. All these things, why did that happen? We cannot see Ishvara in us. Ishvaratvam is not there, right? And we are all ordinary people, right? But that is what he has answered there. Yatha jala suryam ka suryamsham jala nimittam paye suryam. In other words, that if you keep water in a pot, how the sun reflects in the pot, and that same sun reflects in a big tank, same sun reflects in a river, same sun reflects in the ocean also. The same one sun reflects in all the different types of pots or different accumulation water accumulations, right? So sun reflects in the sea, sun reflects in the lake, sun reflects in the river, sun reflects in the small tank, swimming pool, or if you keep a pot with water, sun reflects in that as well, right? So, depending on the Upadhi, they are all Upadhis, different types of Upadhis. But in each Upadhi, sun is reflecting, in each of the Upadhis, right? So, suppose if you imagine, these reflections, they got life. When the sun, what is reflecting in the different Upadhis, if they have got life, the sun in the reflecting in the lake will say that I am a big person. The sun reflecting in the lake will say like that. But the sun reflecting in the pot has to accept that I am a little person, because he is reflecting in the Upadhi. This is what Upadhi does to us. Same sun is reflecting in everything, in the pot, in the lake, in the river, in the sea, ocean, everywhere. But suppose you sell the sun in the, if, suppose they got life, which means the reflection. If the reflection has got life, the reflection in the lake will say to the one which is in the pot, look, I am the bigger man, I am a person, because I am the one who is stronger than you. And the reflection in the little pot will say, provided they got life, they'll say that I am a small man living inside this little pot. In the same way, in this world also, we will say like this, that based on the Upadhi, suppose you got a small glass, and in this water, if the sun is reflecting, right? So, the one which is reflecting in the smallest pot, who has got life, he has to stand respectfully like this, in front of the other one, reflection in the bigger pot, or in the lake, is not, because he is small. So he has to stand respectfully in front of the others. That is what is called transmigration of the soul. If you understand this, we say, talk about rebirth, isn't it? What is rebirth? Rebirth is nothing but, if I pour the water in this glass to another glass, right? This reflection in this glass will reflect in the other glass. Similarly, the jiva has left, or the sun has left this pot, this glass, and moved on to another glass, right? So, just like it was reflecting in this glass, now it's reflecting in another glass, right? So, and when you have poured the water from this glass to another glass, if this water was muddy, there was a lot of filth in this water. All that filth also will go into the next glass. I'm talking about transmigration of the soul. This is how it happens. When we leave this body and move on to the next body, what happens? All the vasanas follows with us. Sushma Shariram, isn't it? Mind. You remember that discussion between Shankaracharya and Vedavyasa Maharshi? It continued for 12 days in Badrinath when they discussed that. This was the topic of discussion. How does this transmigration happen? Palpabhada was waiting outside, and Vedavyasa Maharshi came in the form of an old person, old Brahmana, and came and told Palpabhada, "Is your Acharya here?" Palpabhada said, "Yes, he is there. Shall I go and tell him? Shall I tell him who has come?" He says, "You just go and tell him that a tapasvi has come. He wants to discuss, clarify certain things." And it is their discussion between them where this topic is discussed. How transmigration happens. So, Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying, what happens, because Acharya Swamiji took Brahma Sutram and he commented on Brahma Sutram. And he said that in Brahma Sutram you have spoken like this, and this is what the commentary I have given on that, about the transmigration of the soul. What is that? When we leave the body, the jiva goes along with, he takes with him everything. He takes with him. Everything in which way? In its subtle form. Not the gross form. Gross body leaves, goes there. But the five material elements which we are made of, its subtle form goes with the jiva to prepare the next body. And along with that, he also takes the tanmatras of the elements which is created, the mind, intelligence, ego, sense, chittam, everything. The subtle body, which is manufactured from the tanmatras of the gross elements. He takes that as well. Along with that, he said, he takes all the vasanas with him. He takes all the vasanas also with him. And the pranan, which exits the body at the end, goes with all these things together into the next body. Right? So that is how you are saying that. See, so this is called, and when this happens, it is called rebirth. When you pour the water from this glass to the next glass, all the mud in this glass also goes along with the mud, water, into the next glass. And when the sun reflects in the next glass, it will have the same problem when it was reflecting in the old glass, right? In the same way, when we move from this body to the next body, our vasanas have not, is the impurities that comes with us. Like the mud in the water, the vasanas are our mud. So when we move into the next body, all these vasanas also will come with us to the next body. And then they will start coming out, one after the other. And that is why in the early days, in the child, you won't know what his vasanas are. But as he grows up, if you keep observing one after the other, things will start coming out from him. At that time you start thinking, oh, I didn't train him up like this. I made him like a devotee. I brought him up. But now he's behaving like a demon. The father and mother is discussing about the son and daughter. Right? They are saying that, I never thought that my son will be like this. We brought him up in the best possible way. We joined the movement, we brought him into the temple every day, we gave him prasadam, everything. But then when he grew up, he is doing different things. Where did that come from? If you have trained him up so well, why did it not work? You have to ask the question, isn't it? The reason is this. That is why it's important to know, when rebirth happens, we carry all the vasanas, which it's only a question of time when it starts popping out. And when you move into the next body, at some point in time, it will come out. If you look at yourself, that's the best thing to do. And you will see how your vasanas have influenced your own life at different time stages in life. Everyone knows that. If you look back into your own life back, how your own vasanas came out and dictated things and controlled your life at different times. Right? So Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying here that when jiva goes with the Karana Shariram is avidya. The avidya is there. The subtle body is there, vasanas are there, and all the subtle side of all your senses are there, all the subtle side of your gross elements are there. So practically everything goes with you, but they are all in its subtle form with you to the next body, whatever you're going to take, right? So Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying here that the way Vedavyasa Maharshi says that he does all the packaging before he goes. Like when we go traveling for 2-3 days, we'll be doing the packing, isn't it? Suitcase packing. Make sure that everything is put into the suitcase so that you don't miss anything when you get there at your holiday destination. Yeah. So how you carefully pack everything, make sure that everything is in the package. In the same way, Jiva, when it goes into the next body, he will make sure that everything is in the package. Nothing is left out. All what you get back is this dead body, which is the gross material elements which you are burning here or cremating here or whatever you are doing here, burying here, whatever it you are doing. So majority of it goes. Only a very small part you are leaving behind here in this world. And that's the one we take it very seriously. What he has left behind. And this is the reason why Krishna said in the Ekadasham, Mrityu Atyanta Vismriti. Mrityu is nothing but a big thing, Krishna is saying. Death is not a big thing, he says. Why? Because only what has happened is, you have left one gross body here. That's all. Instead of identifying with this gross body, you are identifying with another gross body. Apart from that, you haven't lost anything else. All your vasanas are intact with you. You're not losing anything. Pranan is with you. Senses are, mind, all of them, they are sushmam. Subtle form is with you. So what have you lost? You haven't lost anything except this gross form, what you have carried over for 70, 80 years here. And then that is what you are burning here. And the major part has gone into the next body, right? So, so Ubhadi. Ubhadi is an important thing, right? So Ubhadi, Ubhadi, from one Ubhadi, it going to another Ubhadi. This is called Ubhadi. This glass is called Ubhadi, right? And the sun will reflect in any Ubhadi. It doesn't matter. Similarly, Chaitanyam, or spirit, Antaryami, Bodham, it will reflect when it gets an Ubhadi, wherever it is, it will reflect. That's the nature of the Chaitanyam, nature of Chaitanyam. So, sometimes you may have noticed this, that you leave some food outside, right? And animals or birds, nothing have eaten. It is lying there. You will see life coming out from that. Where did they come from? Is it not? Sometimes some bacteria comes out, or some kind of living entity is coming from that. You have thrown the food outside in the garden somewhere, and no birds have eaten, no squirrels or birds have touched it. It's just lying there. Lying there for a few days, and suddenly life sprouts from that. Life comes out from that, right? So what that means is that something has happened, something has happened which was favorable for Chaitanyam to reflect. For Chaitanyam to reflect, Chaitanyam is present everywhere throughout the creation. And Chaitanyam will keep reflecting wherever there is a favorable environment, favorable conditions, right? So that is why he is called, you know, another name for Chaitanyam in the Shastra means Sadyojatam. Sadyojatam means that he can appear anywhere he wants, provided the conditions are favorable, right? And how did that happen, if you ask the question? There is no answer for that. You didn't plan, the life sprouted on its own. Life has come out on its own, right? So, and there are certain worms, if you cut them into two, both of them will live. Have you seen that? Certain worms, if you cut them into two, they should die, isn't it? According to our understanding, they won't die. Both will be jumping up and down, the two pieces. There are two worms, but they will be both working at the same time, right? And so this Punarjanma Siddhantam of rebirth, you can't bring in all these things then. This rebirth, that Siddhantam, you can't bring into that. When you cut them into two, they are also like living together. Separately they are living. Neither. So, what do they call it? It's a word for that. Protozoa. You heard that word, isn't it? Protozoa. That means if you cut that, both has got life in them. And if you sometimes if you cut them into four, they'll be all four will be living. These worms, all of them will be living, right? So if you keep on cutting these upadhis again and again, you can do that, but it is one thing, but it has come out in all the four separately. Chaitanyam is one. It was originally present in one form, in one worm. Then you have cut them into two. Then you see Chaitanyam present in both separately. If you cut them further, in each one of them, the same Chaitanyam is still working within that, right? So, so it is this way that the so the transmigration theory, you have to be careful while applying that. It's not always the same. It can happen this way also. But generally when we, our cases, living entities normally, when we transmigrate from one body to another, what happens? That's what is more important. That you move. Practically you are taking everything with you. You are not losing anything. You may be saying, oh, I cannot take my house, my bank deposit and all that. But that is not a part of you anyway. It is not a part of you. But when you are going, you can take what Krishna has allowed us to take. What has he allowed? Senses you can take. Subtle body you can take. Pranan will go with you. And all the subtle form of material elements will go with you. What more do you want? When you go to the next body, everything is there. You have to rebuild it again, just like you do in the Lego. Put it together and new body is ready to come in action, right? So, when the water in the glass is thrown out, the sun has gone, the jiva has gone there. It is still reflecting in the space, right? Similarly, when our chittam, manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. When the chittam becomes pure, instead of chittam, it becomes chitta. That's the transformation. From chittam to chitta. So, what chitta means, that unbroken state of consciousness, of oneness with the antaryami. So, chittam, which means vasana. When vasanas goes away, chittam is destroyed. At that time, chittam becomes the chit, which means chit-shakti, antaryami, and that at that time you experience this unbroken state. At that time what happens? All the vasanas in the chittam has gone, which means, vasanas means the mud, that's the impurities of the heart, right? They have gone, and just like you saw all the filth in the water, it gave the impression that it's all coming from the sun, but it is not. But the reflection has the problem of the sun in the water, is carrying all the, as looks as though that the sun is dirty in the water. Similarly, this jiva inside has got this, as long as it has got the vasanas inside, those vasanas will reflect through the jiva into the world, right? Similarly, when I get angry, envy, pride, all these things will trap me in such a way that I feel that I am bound, bound by material pragriti. That is how bondage happens, how I feel bound. And that's called pragriti, or then we call it as samsaram. When it gets bound by the filth of these vasanas, which has come along with the, along with all our prarabdham, everything, karmam, all together, when it affects this reflection, then we say we are in samsara, material existence, right? So, in the Viveka Chudamani also, it is spoken about that in detail. If you want to understand it more in detail, it is mentioned there, right? What does a realized soul does? He says, he approaches as guru, spiritual master, and continuously hearing this science of the Andaryami science. It's called science of the Andaryami from different Upanishads. And then he knows that his body is just like a pot. It's like a pot. And the mind is just like the water inside that, right? And within that water, there is this ahankaram, which is the reflection of the Andaryami, which is the sun. So, body is the pot, the mind is the water, Andaryami is the sun, ahankaram is the reflection. And that is what that verse is talking about. Mamai vamsho jiva loke. These verses are really requires a lot of thoughts you have to put into it. How this relationship is. Mamai vamsho jiva loke. Jiva bhuta sanatana. Mana shashtan indriyani. Prakritisthani karshadi. Krishna put it in a very clear way that Prakritisthani karshadi says. It has come from Prakriti and this will be its nature. It is within the Prakriti, right? So, when one is able to become free from all these reflections, called in the body, mind, and the water that is the mind, and the reflection, ahankaram, when all that goes away, when you start seeing the sun only, which is in the sky, which is the Andaryami inside, when you say that, and when you go get there, you become free from all the other things, right? You don't have to go there, you don't have to break the pot before that. Pot is the body, isn't it? Even before the pot breaks down, you can go there to Andaryami. Even before the pot breaks down, right? So, pot, what is a pot? Pot is this body, gross body. And then, inside that, there's water, which is the mind. And then the Andaryami's reflection in the water is the ahankaram. You see? Ahankaram, right? So therefore, this body and through the body and through the thoughts that comes through the body and this ahankaram, if you are able to become free from that while you are inside this body and able to remain as a witness like the way Andaryami is, and you have touched that Andaryami, and that state is called, and that is my Swarupam, my real identity, knowing and realizing that is Samadhi. Wherever your identification is there, all your energy will come through that. Just like you can see that where I am, that is where all my energy will be spent. You understand that? Where your Shraddha is, in other words, right? So, suppose you are identifying strongly with the body. How will you notice that? You will notice that body, you will be concerned about the body so much then. You'll make sure that the body is maintained nicely and you'll be very alert about looking after the body. Whether diseases are coming. All that is showing to us is that your Shraddha is in the body. Yeah? Shraddha is in the body. So, where your identification is, that's where your Shraddha will be. Similarly, if your Shraddha has fallen on the Andaryami, then you become Andaryami. If your Shraddha has fallen on the body, you become the body. If your Shraddha has fallen on the Andaryami, your Ahankaram will be in the Andaryami, right? So, and when it comes in your Swarupam, this Shraddha, then it is called a Samadhi. That means, when Shraddha goes away from the body, from the mind, from the Ahankaram, Shraddha falls on the Andaryami, then it is called a Samadhi. It's called Samadhi. So, if you project your Ahankaram, Abhimanam, in Atma, then what will happen is, Abhimanam, Ahankaram will disappear. Up to that point, Ahankaram will remain with you. And only Atma will remain. And that is what it means by Aham Brahmasmi. You know that word, famous, isn't it? Aham Brahmasmi. People will say, so they'll read Bhagavad Gita, right? And then I asked one little boy one day, I said, you're reading Bhagavad Gita. So he says to me, what did you understand? I said, says, Aham Brahmasmi, he says. With full confidence he said that. So what it means is that means you completely become free from the body, like our Parikshit, is it not? What did he say? Aham Brahma Param Dhamma Brahmaham Paramam Padam Evam Samikshan Atmanam Atmanyathaya Nishkale. That is Aham Brahmasmi. Aham Brahmasmi stage, that is. That means Shraddha in him has gone completely from the body, mind, senses, everything, and totally fallen on the Antaryami. On the Antaryami. So Aham Brahma means that, right? That means Abhimanam, Aham Brahmasmi has become his identity instead of Aham Deham. So when Shraddha falls on the Antaryami, or our Ahangaram, Abhimanam, falls on the Antaryami, then what happens is that Parichedam goes away. When we are identifying with the body, it is Parichedam. Parichedam means you feel limited, is it not? When you are identifying with the body, mind, senses and all that, you feel limited. You are limited to this body, limited to this mind, limited to senses and all that. But when this Shraddha completely leaves all this and falls on the Antaryami, what happens? This limiting nature leaves the soul. Jiva loses that limiting nature. So, and that is what Krishna is referring to as Jiva Loke Jiva Bodham, he says. Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bodham. Jiva Loke Jiva Bodha means, Jiva Loke Jiva Bodha means, what you are seeing as Jiva at that time is Gadadi Ubhadi Parichinam Akashaha. What was mentioned there, Gadadi Ubhadi Parichinam, Gadadi Agasha Agashamsham, Gadadi Nimittobhaye Agasham. Exactly like the way when the pot was broken, the sky has become one. In the same way that when the pot was broken, the space has become one with the outer space. In the same way, it's only an example, right? We call it Agasham inside and the space outside, right? Agasham inside the pot, Agasham outside the pot. So for Vyavaharam purposes, you call it as inner space, outer space, like that. But when you have broken the pot, what happened? The Ghatagasham, or the space inside the pot, dissolved in the space outside. Dissolved in the space outside. Did it really dissolve? No. It hasn't dissolved. We are saying like that, it has dissolved. Actually what happened? There was only out space. Inside or outside, it was always the space, right? And just because the pot was there, it doesn't mean that the space didn't exist, right? You can ask any big physics scientist about this, he will tell you, right? The pot hasn't changed, right? Nothing has changed. Okay, you can call it as the space inside the pot, but if you ask the question, does the pot exist really? Does the pot exist really, right? Pot cannot exist in the space on its own. Yeah, this is a little complex, it is. More scientific, more science side to look at it, right? Where did the pot come from? If you keep, break this pot, suppose you broke the pot, right? And broke it to the most finest element, just like a small specks of dust. It has become completely broken into small pieces. Pot has become the clay, and then the clay was smashed to further, and it has broken and broken and broken and come to the minute particles of dust, right? When you look at it like that, within this minute particle of the dust, if you analyze that, you will find there is space inside. There is space inside, right? So space within the space, that's what we are talking about. There's a space within the space, and in space nothing can exist. Only space can exist, right? Nothing else can exist, because Whatever things what you see in the form of pots or in the form of dust or particles or whatever it may be, right? All that is existing there within the one thing called space only. Only space is the reality there, and space is manifesting there in the form of particle. That's the theory behind it. When you are seeing it as a form of particle, it manifests in the form of particle. Now, understand this how. You remember these five material elements. Space is the source first. Agasham. From Agasham comes Vayu. From Vayu comes Agni. From Agni comes water. From water comes Prithvi, earth. Right? So, even though these five, actually these four elements, they are all existing in the space in its most subtle form. When they become gross, you start seeing them in these four different forms. Water, fire, air and earth. So in its original form, it's all, what is present here is space only. So this Aham Brahmasmi realization, that is the beauty of this. That when you realize that, then this Agasham itself is, when it goes back to its source, that's Brahmam. From Brahmam comes Agasham, according to Upanishads. It comes like that, right? So, when you say space, what that means is that there is no space. When you say there is space, there is no space in that, right? So, when we normally say space, like we say, suppose there are two things, two phones here now. There is a space in between. This is how we call space, isn't it? Gap between the two objects, right? But actually you cannot give any gap between them because space is infinite. When you are seeing through senses, you are bringing all this space into it. Do you know what I'm saying? See, when you are seeing through senses, everything changes. Perception changes. You are seeing it as two different objects and then you are seeing there is a space in between. According to Vedam, there is no space here. Even space is not real, according to Vedam. What they are saying is all other things, forget about that, because they come from the space. Even the space, its space is infinite. So there cannot be a space inside the space. Only the space exists, right? There cannot be two spaces, right? Nothing can happen in space, and it is not intellectual jugglery. It is Advaitam. It is pure Advaitam. That means even in the sky, when you look at it, nothing can exist there except Agasham, except space, right? Then how did our body come in this? That you have to ask the question, isn't it? We have got this thing called body which we are carrying for 78 years here, right? We are saying the body has appeared, right? How did this body come? If you strictly speaking, that space is standing in front of us in the form of a body. It is the same space that is in front of us in the form of a body, for which we give the name, address, which get married to another space. And all kinds of things what we do. So this is all avidya it is. From Shastram point of view, when you see these things, this is all considered to be avidya. So from space, all other things what we are, it's a magic it is, like we talked about it before. From a small seed of the banyan tree, a huge tree has manifested. And that huge tree, banyan tree, has got hundreds and thousands of fruits. And in each one of those fruits, there is hundreds of seeds. And from each one of those seeds is capable of producing a huge banyan tree. In the same way, this magic also Krishna is talking about here, that four material elements, they are already present in the Agasham, in the space, right? And from Agasham comes Vayu, from then Vayu Agni. That means when Agasham becomes Vayu, Agasham is present in the Vayu, because Vayu has come from Agasham. Then Vayu becomes Agni, that means Agasham is present in the Agni as well. Do you get the point? Yeah, Panchikaranam, it's called. Panchikaranam is this. Vedantam is very clear on all these things. Vedantam is saying that you have got these five material elements. One element has come from the other, but the source of all the five material elements is Agasham. When Agasham, other things have come, which means Agasham is present in everything, including air, fire, water, and the earth. In all of them, Agasham is present, right? So, that's what he is saying here. So, it is Agasham, or space, that becomes Vayu. And it is Agasham that becomes Agni. And it is Agasham that becomes water. And it is Agasham that becomes the earth, right? And similarly, it is Agasham that becomes the herbs, plants, trees, everything. And it is Agasham that comes through Aushadhi, that means the trees and plants, and it transforms itself in the form of blood and semen. Blood and semen is also Agasham. Shuklam Shonidam, it is called. Shukla Shonida Rupam is also Agasham that comes out, right? So, Akasha, Upanishad says this, Akashal Vayu, Vayu Agnihi, Agni Apam, in this way. So, so Akasham has come from the Atma. Akasham has come from Atma, right? So, when you are meditating on the Akasham, only Akasham is there, body is not there. And when the body gets destroyed, this also goes back to its elements. Suppose we die, the body get burned, and then what happens? All the elements goes back to its source where it came from. So, so we'll stop there today. We'll continue on Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.